Good evening, Sue. Good evening, listeners, and welcome to the second edition this year of the My Garden Diary. Now, the one thing I have noticed and has set me back a little bit is that it's been cold and wet and windy. And there's one thing you can never do is fight against the elements. They always win. So I've been doing quite a bit in the greenhouse, in the garage, and in the sheds. Once it got a little better, then I was able to get out. But in the meantime, what I have been able to do in February is set out in egg boxes my first early potatoes, which again this year are Rocket. And I try to set out about three or four into a box so they're not touching, and put them rows side up so that it gives them a good start. And then the whole idea is that in 6 weeks' time, they will be right enough and the 5 centimetres long, the little sprouts will be ready to go into the ground, providing the weather is fine. I also took the opportunity a few weeks after that to set out my second earlies in the same manner, which are Wilger this year, second early Wilgers, which I haven't grown for a little while, but change is always good. Now, they will be going out into the ground, hopefully, by either the end of March or the beginning of April. Tomato seedlings from the propagator were taken out and put into the conservatory. And I put those onto a tray with horticultural grit. It's easier to water. And a lot of the time you want to water from the bottom so that it goes up through, as opposed to watering from the top. And it's warm enough in the conservatory to set them on their way again. The next stage after they grow a bit more is to actually set them out into their individual pots. So I have actually put the seedlings into modular cells, and when I was moving them, when they got true leaves, it was easy just to pick them up. Never pick them up by the stems, pick them up by the true leaves. If you have to pick them up by the seedling leaves, fine, but never by the stems. So gently put them into the modular cells and try to ensure that your compost is not cold. Bring it in for a little while, maybe a week or more, to ensure that the compost is not cold so they don't suffer from shock. I saw plug plants in the garden centre, so I decided that I would, as I did last year at this time, to buy some, and they are at their cheapest. When the smaller they are, the cheaper they become. So I was able to get a pack of, well, they're set out in little cellular blocks of 20. So I put those in the greenhouse, and then after a while, I have been able to prick those out and put them into individual little pots. And I've kept those in the greenhouse, and I put those into pots with a little bit of grit at the bottom. It allows them to breathe. If there is going to be any frost whatsoever, then just give them a light cover. A little bit of horticultural fleece will do absolutely fine, but ensure that you do water them. I think I've got in total 80 plants, four lots of 20 of geranium, two lots of lobelia and begonia, I believe. You can buy other plants later on, which was a stage further, and they will be a little bigger. You'll get less for your money. But the idea of plug plants is it's like blowing up a balloon. You take the effort out of the germination process with a seed. And believe me, that can be troublesome in certain plants. I also took the opportunity to sow some lettuce in a trough and left it in the greenhouse. It's a pick and come again lettuce. It's warm enough in the greenhouse as a whole. I even cover that with a little plastic covering to A, keep it warm, and B, if there's any little mice around, which I haven't detected, then that will stop them from having a little nibble. aerating the lawns. Now, it has been fine, providing it wasn't too muddy, and it gives me the exercise to aerate the lawns, mark it out, and I do mine with a garden fork because that's the exercise. Just give it a little wiggle, and then I put a little bit of sharp sand, brush that in, and hopefully that will see it through to the middle of spring when I will start applying a fertilizer to it and maybe need to think about repairing patches in the lawns. I've sowed chilies and peppers. Now, they normally take a long time to grow, and I put those in the propagator. I'm trying to just use one propagator this year. I know it doesn't use probably that much power, electric, but we are getting to more expensive energy. So the more you can save, as they say, every little bit helps. So I did a bit of a control and experiment, really. I put some in the propagator and others into the conservatory in freezer bags, wrap them round to see how quick either comes up. If one proves better than the other, then so be it. But I have been quite successful in the last couple of years of putting them in the conservatory, wrapped them in a freezer bag, just a small one, that'd be fine. So you'll see it starting sweating and everything, and up come the little seedlings. So some of them have started to appear now, which is great. So it won't be that long before I shall be getting to the pricking out stage. I did take the opportunity middle of the month when the weather wasn't too bad to mow my lawns. Now, I did that on a higher cut than normal, plus the fact I didn't collect the cuttings. The first cuttings I always allow to go back onto the lawn, allows a bit of mulching, and it gives it a bit more protection if you are going to get the frosts. Evens it out as well. And by the same token, I took the opportunity to make it look a bit tidier by edging the lawns as well with my edging shears. Just makes it a little bit more crisp around the borders. So we will decide to pick up grass cuttings next time we mow, which I was hoping it was going to be soon at the end of the month, but the weather again has not dictated that to be. My dahlias that I saved from last year, which is four various colours, I put those into the propagator, and they have come up tremendous so far. The initial stages have been very good. So I marked them well, so I know which colours are what. And they got to the stage of pricking out pretty quickly when I put them into the conservatory. So they have now gone into the greenhouse and I pricked them out into their individual modules. So we'll see how that goes. You might get one or two that will die off. It just inevitably happens. But I'm at this moment, the hard work of collecting the seed last autumn seems to have paid off. I marked out my P row. I've moved things around a bit as you try to do a bit of rotation. So it's in a slightly different spot. But I just put a lot of chicken manure pellets into it. And what I have used for pea sticks this year, instead of canes, my neighbour and I, we coppiced part of an alder tree, which it grows every year, and you have the like little stake bits coming out, and we coppiced that, and they just seem to be the right size for the pea boughs. So I marked it out. It is about 6 foot long, and I will put the rest of the boughs in there and then put a beam over the top and then put some netting over once the peas start to grow. In fact, at the end of the month, I actually sowed the peas into pots about 7 or 8 per larger pot, say eight inches in diameter, and they would be okay in the greenhouse. They don't need any super heat or anything like that. They take about probably 7 to 14 days to show signs of life, but they will be absolutely fine. I prefer to do that way as opposed to put them directly into the ground, because they can get a bit wet and miserable. These are the first lilies. I will have a succession growing of peas, so hopefully they will come up, and in maybe towards the end of the month, they will be planted out. We shall see. With the Brussels sprouts, I finished harvesting the Brussels sprouts, and immediately I finished harvesting them, and I froze a few. I dug out all the stalks. I removed the greenery leaves, saved those, and put them in a bag, because that's going to go into my compost when I've emptied the other compost. So I removed the stalks and also the kale stalks that were hiding behind them, cut them up, got rid of those in the council green bin because they're really too woody to break down in the compost bin. Once I'd done that, that area had been earmarked for my shallots and onions. So immediately I took to spring digging, which is a bit more hard work because you have to dig it more thoroughly, break it down, remove any weeds that are there. So you should do it spring digging in batches. I normally try to do it no more than half an hour at a time, but I started off that way and then had an hour and a half session, and my back knew it after that, but there we go. But the job was done. And after I did that, the following day, I incorporated general fertilizer into it, plus blood, fish and bone. And I knew it was going to rain slightly, so that was going to wash in. Hope it wasn't going to be too heavy a rain, because I didn't want it to be washed out. So that was all being prepped for the shallots. I don't think I'm growing so much of anything this year. I think I went overboard last year, so I think I've got to cull my activities. Whilst removing the kale and the sprouts, I noticed that the early purple sprouting is ready for picking. And you know that when the middle part, the floret, goes purple. And the idea is that you should remove that when it is purple, so that it encourages side growth down the stalk. And also while you're there, you've got to really get rid of the yellowing leaves, either on the stalks or when they're lying on the ground, because that reduces the risk of pests and disease. And I tend to, with the yellow leaves, I tend to throw those into the green bin and not the compost. Probably could get away with throwing it in the compost, but that is the way I've done it. I've marked out the French bean, two French bean wigwams. And the reason I mark them out is that it won't be long before I shall be putting some compost or manure into a little round holes that I will dig out to give them a little bit of a reservoir. I haven't done my runner bean one yet, which is really, really long, but I thought I would do the French bean ones first. I have had a delivery of some, not rotted down, but I've had a delivery of manure, 12 large bags of it, but as it was taken off of the field, it needs about 4 months to be in these bags before they are ready to go onto your garden. Mine will actually go on in the autumn now. You don't want it to be too new. They call it being green, but it doesn't do the plants any favours when it's like that. It needs to be well rotted. When the weather was bad, I took the opportunity in the shed to sharpen my tools with a whetstone, which backwards and forwards, it really is a joy to see things come back to life, especially sharpening tools. And it's not just secateurs or shears. It's things like garden hose that you can, where you're digging into the ground and cutting off those weeds, you really need to have a nice sharp blade as far as you can with a tool like that. And also my half moon, because you're cutting into the ground. So you need that to be really, really sharp. I did my edging shears as well prior to doing the lawn. So it's, and I also gave them an oil, just a normal oil, just putting it on to make sure there's eight doesn't squeak. I actually did that with my wheelbarrow. It started squeaking, which was a wake-up call. So it's always good to do these things when you've got a bit more time on your hands. I've also done culled back a bit more of my bush roses. Now, I did cut them back by a third in the late autumn, and I've done another third in February. So you cut them back, it will come back. And the fact is that the buds are starting to produce now. Doesn't matter. As long as you can cut it back to a shape, and that all depends on when you're cutting the, with your secateurs, you're cutting the stems, and ensure that you make it at an angle so that when it rains, it runs off as well as the direction of where it's going to go. So you don't have a rotten stem. I also, in February, finished off my store potatoes. Now, it was a case of every 2 weeks I was going through them to debut them, as they say, which means that they were growing shoots, which weakens the potato, makes it go soft. You come to a time when you say, I've had enough, they've served me well, now let's get rid of them. They didn't get rid of too many, but you had to do that. And the cycle starts again. I cut last year's hydrangea blooms. I find that if you cut them back to the green buds, leaving the old blooms until late as possible helps to protect them from frost. Now, somebody told me about this, so I thought, well, you always pick up new information all the time. Onion sets I laid out in trays. That prevents them when they come in their bags. It prevents premature sprouting. So just lay them out. They will go out about mid-March, mid-March to mid-April, depending again on the weather and if I've provided the room for them. I also took a pH test of my soil, which was just a little commercial test kit. You just add a bit of the acid to, or the liquid to it, to find out what acidity or alkaline, or if it's neutral. Now, mine tends to be neutral to alkaline, so it's okay. So what you don't want to do is find something that is really acidic. And you lime where necessary, but really do not overlime if you have to. And that is really when it's a bit acidic. So don't overlime. I also sowed some more flowers, seeds. These ones had seeds, which you don't seem to get the plug parts. And that was, again, saved seeds from last year. It does pay. Nicotiana, I sorted them out into two colours, white and pink, and they're very, very small little seeds. So I just put them in a pot of seed compost, just pat them down to make sure that the seeds come into contact with the compost. Put a little bit of vermicide on the top, and I just put those in the conservatory. They have started come up. They're very, very small, but we will see how far and how much we will get with those. And I think that is about all I did for February.
Well, that's quite a bit, Trevor, I think. Obviously, it kept you very busy. One thing I was going to ask you is that this morning I came back from Melton Mowbray. I was with my daughter. We went to Iketterby Lakes, which we always go to because it's beautiful there and the restaurant serves the most wonderful food. And on the way back, I saw a chap and he was making a hedgerow out of existing trees. Now, I thought, what is that called? Do you know what that's called? You know what I mean? When they make these wonderful hedgerows, they bend the trees.
They bend them over.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such an art, and I really, it's out of my memory as to what it.
Right. Well, I've just called,
because you do have they have competitions, don't they?
Yeah. Well, this was just beautiful. And I had two dogs on my laps. Otherwise, I would have got out of the car and taken some pictures and also the man. Anyway, yeah. I've looked it up. It's called pleaching.
Is it?
Mm. P-L-E-A-C-H-I-N-G. There you are. You will learn, and so have our listeners. Okay, well, we'll go into a commercial break now, Trevor. And then when we come back, you can talk about what you're going to be doing in March. Thank you. Welcome back to Trevor's Gardening Diary for the month of March. And now, Trevor, you're going to discuss what you will be doing in March. So fire away.
I think what it is, Sue, is what I hope to do in March. Again, the weather is a key element, but as they say, March is the month in the garden where you start cranking up a gear because you're able to put more things in, prepare. It's brilliant. I mean, I plan to plant out my shallots. I dug the area in the spring dig-in that I did in the back end of February, and I've applied the necessary fertilizers. So I shall plant out my shallot 6 inches apart with the tip of the bulb showing before I plant the onions. Now, I shall also be digging out my main trench, providing it dries out. I've got everything prepped to dig my main trench. And my main trench will be about the width of two spades, and it's about 20 foot long. So it's quite long, but it does produce a lot of beans. But what you have to do with beans is to ensure that you have what they call the reservoir, because they're very hungry beans. And once they start growing, as well as growing up, they grow down and they want their roots to go into this lush reservoir. So you dig it out to about 8 inches, a foot, depending on your strength and your desire. And then you put in newspaper, cardboard. I dampen it all down and then I put my compost on it and any spare manure that I've got that is ready, I put that in, and then we backfill it and put some fertilizer on it, and that should be okay. And when that job is done, you know that half your compost heap is gone, so things are on the move. Won't be planting beans yet, until sometime in April, and then that will be indoors. I hope to sow the cosmos, hollyhock, nasturtiums. I think I started sowing the nasturtiums too early last year because once they come up, they go mad. So I think if I hold them back a bit longer, then they will be more ready to go out in the garden and not be a little too leggy. And by leggy, it means that you've got too much growth in the wrong area, i.e. the stem. I will continue to prick out my dahlias, and they will then go into more bigger pots. It's a progression, and it's the same as tomatoes. You progress. So once they start getting a bit bigger, and again, I'm not growing so many tomatoes this year, you put them into a bigger pot and then a bigger pot until you come to the size that you can manage with canes, and especially if you've got them in the greenhouse. A lot of people will then put them outside. I seem to have disappointing results with tomatoes outside, and I've got the space inside in the greenhouse, so mine will stay in the greenhouse. Now, you have got the shading of greenhouses, whereas I probably won't do it in March, but I will prepare. because the evenings are getting longer, the days will be getting warmer. You probably don't think so at the moment. So if you hadn't already prepped, and I've done some of it, but it's a good idea to get the moss out inside as well as outside. I use a marker, a plant marker, and I tease the moss out and then disinfectant it, and I will not clean the glass until a day before I want to apply the new shade paint. I use shade paint. Other people will use a green covering, anything that really shades the plants on the inside from scorching heat, from just plain glass. Now, I leave it that late to take off the old stuff is because I like a little bit of privacy. So it's good to keep it on for a little while. And also remember in the greenhouse that you should start opening your windows. I've got a hand operated one, whereas some have them done by beeswax where the sun will move it up and down, which I haven't got. I don't need to. But it is that time when you have to start opening and ventilating. Marigolds. Now, I've saved a lot of marigold seeds from last year, far more than I ever need. So I would start one tray and I will put that in the conservatory. Just put it with seed compost, sprinkle the marigolds onto it, and they're so easy to harvest, so easy to save, and so easy to grow. Just put them into the trays on moist compost, a light covering, either with more compost or vermulite, and just cover in the great water, and then just cover. Again, ensure that contact is made between the seed and the compost. The contact will enable it to germinate better or quicker. The onion sets that I've currently got in the trays hopefully will be going out in mid-March to the end of March. Now, they will be set aside or alongside my shallots, and I've prepared the ground for that now, and they will go in about 4 inches apart, and we shall see what happens. Again, I've got two varieties, Stuttgart Giant and one called Centurion Hybrid. Now, the rows aren't as long as last year, so hopefully I shall be able to cover them more easier. And then you do not have to look after onions after that. A little bit of weeding, that's all they ask for, because they don't like competition from weeds. But that is a long way off, and I'll come to that in another month or so. The second early potatoes, hopefully they will be going in at the end of the month. The area that they're going to go into is currently held by the purple sprouting. So we will have to harvest that quickly. It won't take long to dig over, and potatoes are a very good crop for cleaning the ground. So they won't take the stalks out for me, but they are a very good crop for cleaning the ground. They will go in there, and my first earlies, hopefully the middle of the month, will be going into big tubs. I've done this for quite a few years now. I take the first 6 or 8 inches of the previous year's compost out and replace it with new, bearing in mind that the last crop that I would have had in there would have been courgettes or carrots, because once first earlies are finished, again, you would remove the top part of the compost and revigorate and then put another crop in. So it's now back in time for the first earlies. And I've got about five containers that I shall put it sounds a lot, but potatoes do do produce quite a bit in a short bit of space. So we'll see how they go along. And when I shall be planting those, it will be a case of marking the row out, getting a hoe and a line, marking it out, digging it out, and then putting in granular fertilizer at the bottom, plant the potatoes, drill, they call it a drill hoe, and then you drill the soil up over the potatoes, and then I like to put more fertilizer down the side with blood, fish and bone, and then draw it from the other side so that you've got a ridge. And that, the intention of that is to ensure that the potatoes underneath will not come to the surface. Hence, later on, when they do show and they do start to sprout, you must ensure that you do not have actual potatoes showing to the sunlight, because the one thing that is poisonous on a potato is when it's green. Again, we'll come to that in another month or so. I'm going to sow beetroot into modules that I in the greenhouse last, as I did last year, because that seemed very successful. Got them to a lovely stage, a lovely position, and then planted them out into the main garden. It seemed to be, you could plant them out. It seemed to be the better idea, because you could plant them out, you could space them, so you didn't have to thin them out. And I was pleased with that. When it gets probably the middle of the month, I will look to, and the ground is a lot drier than probably what it is now, is I will prepare a purpose seed bed for planting of lettuce, carrots, spring onions, radishes, and try to do them in small rows so that if I do it in the middle of the month, then I will do more. I will sow more of the same 2 weeks after that. So you have a succession growing. I will also be growing cucumbers. They will be starting at the middle to the end of next month. I think, again, I started those off too early last year. So I shall be putting those into the greenhouse, start them off in the greenhouse or conservatory, and then plant them out into tubs. One other one I shall be growing, but that's later on, is marrows. I do not intend to grow as many marrows as what I did last year. I had marrows, they just went prolific and grew so big it was unreal. So I think I will cut it down to one plant as opposed to three plants, but I'm not sowing any of that in March. That will probably be at the beginning of April. At the beginning of the month, hopefully, which is something that has been deferred because of the weather, I want to empty my main compost. I've started to prepare emptying by taking off some of the coverings. Now, I need to put some of that into the bean trench. So obviously, one thing leads to the other. I store quite a few bags of the compost, and a lot of it I give to a very good friend of mine. And a lot of the other part, because it's amazing how much compost you produce. And then I will use it down the side of my garden in my flower beds as a soil improver. That is basically what homemade compost is for. I would not use homemade compost as a base for sowing seeds, because you do not know. Yes, it's made all the right ingredients, but it has not been verified that it's pest-free or disease-free or anything of that nature for young seedlings. So I wouldn't subject them to that kind of compost. And I will just go down the side of the garden and the sides in the front of the garden and just incorporate it with a border fork into the soil before a lot of things emerge. I've still got dahlias in the side. which I covered with bark this year because I didn't want to dig them up and just over and put a lot of them in the greenhouse over winter. So hopefully that they will have been protected from the frost. But I should put the compost all along there, and then anything that is left over will be saved in my and stored in my log shed. Late March, I will be sowing parsnips. Now, they really are not a problem. They really need to have new seed every year. That's what the experts say. And as I only started regrowing it last year and was very pleased with the outcome, there are some things that didn't turn out as good as one hoped for, but quite a few things did, and parsnips was one. And it's only recently that I finished digging up parsnips. You don't thin parsnips. They take a long time to grow, but they grow. You leave them there, don't need any tending. You don't, as I say, you don't thin them out, and they will last you right through the winter. You obviously can't dig them up when it's frost, but they are surprisingly productive. And you will not know what size of parsnip you've got until you actually get your fork in there and start digging them up. And some can be small and some can be quite tapered and fat. Radishes this year, I'm going to sow smaller rows because once they start growing, then they seem to grow very quickly. And certainly the first two lots of radishes will be fine because it won't be exceedingly hot. But once it starts getting hot, you really do have to, and the soil dries out, you really do have to water them very, very regularly. Otherwise, what happens is that they go woody, which is not very pleasant. They go woody very, very quickly. Summer cabbage, I shall be putting those into modules into the greenhouse, sowing the seeds, and that will be growing the seeds and then transplanting them into a bigger pot. I used to have a bed outside, not a bed, not one of those. I used to have a seed bed outside for my Brussels, broccoli, and cabbage, but decided it was easier doing it in the greenhouse. So we shall start the cabbages off first, and then later, mid-month, I shall start the Brussels and the purple sprouting, which are, and the kale. The kale was exceptional last year. So we shall be starting that all before the end of the month. And all of that will be done in the greenhouse and then transferred into pots. The problem is you'll always grow more than you need because they do grow to a big size. Certainly the last three, kale sprouts and purple sprouting, you need to have about at least 2 foot apart for each plant. So when they're little seedlings, you don't imagine that's going to happen. But to allow them to breed and to produce at their best, that's what you have to do. Now, watering seedlings, now that they've all come up, is always best to water young seedlings, and I mean young seedlings, with tap water, because it doesn't have the nastiness of what could be in a water butt. Once plants have got more established, more mature, they are hardened to anything that's in a water butt in general. But when it's a seedling, do not give them water butt water. And in fact, you should really, with even tap water, you should actually have it slightly tepid, because you don't want it to be shocked, or the seedlings to be shocked by cold water. And I'd over the winter, I'd actually emptied all my water butts. I hadn't cleaned them, but I've emptied them. And of course, now with the recent rains, they're all full again. Well, I did take the taps off at the bottom, or turn the taps on, so nothing stored there. But it's a very good source of water, and I shall ensure that they are full most of the time. Won't need it now, but will need it probably in April, May, depending on what kind of spring and early summer we have. And I think that's about it, Sue, for what I think I'm going to do in March. There's always things that what you can't remember, that suddenly you're out in the garden, you think, I need to do that. So
yeah, okay, that's brilliant. Okay, well, we're going to a commercial break, and then afterwards we will have some questions that listeners have sent in. Thanks very much, Trevor. Welcome back to part three of Trevor's Gardening Diet, and this is for the month of March. Now, Trevor has discussed what he did in February and also what he's going to do in March. So we've got a few questions from listeners. So off you go, Trevor.
Okay, so, well, some may be repeated from last year, but then they always will be at this time of year, if you understand what I'm saying. So one of the most common ones is how to prick out a seedling, and a seedling should really, to not damage, should be picked up by its true leaf or its seedling leaves, never by the stem. So you just pick it up gently, and I tease mine out of the growing area with a marker, a plant marker, and it takes a little time. What you don't want to do is rush it. Just tease it out and try to get as much of the natural root as possible, because they're so tender that they can break off quite easily. So take your time over it and give them a little wiggle where they're going to go in, a little hole, and then pop them down with your fingers on the leaves. How wide is the bean trench? I may have covered this earlier. Mine is about two spade widths. Now, that is calculated as to where the canes will go, so where the reservoir needs to be. So I will say that that's two spade widths. And then when you've dug it out, you will put the initial canes up, so it gives you an idea of how many canes you want. I mean, if you're growing it in the same space every year, which you can with runner bean because you're building a new reservoir, then you will probably know how many canes you will need. So, but like anything, canes only have a certain life. So you need to top up. Best time to top up is in the winter when things are cheaper and everything. But that's how wide I have mine. Now, if you're looking at French beans, I do all my French beans in wigwams, as I have climbing French beans. So I do a circular reservoir. So the width really is about a foot each, 14 inches either side of the central pole, so that when you're putting your wigwam up, you're leaning your canes in, and then you grab the top, tie it round, and there you've got your wigwam. I wouldn't live in it, but I mean, long as it survives the wind, you'll be okay. Now, onion sets. What are onion sets? Well, onion sets are a baby bulbs. And basically, they will give you a head start when you put them in. You can grow onions from seed, and you normally start those a lot earlier than when you put the onion sets in. But again, it's like blowing up that balloon. It is that initial germination oomph to get it going. You know what it's like when you're having a balloon. The hardest part of a balloon, it's getting started. So that's what an onion set is. It is moved on from the seed. How do I know if the soil is warm enough? Oh, Well, it's no, if the soil needs to be at a reasonable certain temperature, otherwise all your efforts will be wasted sowing into cold, damp ground. And what I normally do is, apart from natural instinct, I get a garden thermometer and put it into the ground, and it's then saying, well, what is the best time of day to put that into the ground? I've always been told not to put it in first thing in the morning because it could be the coldest and the frost and could be frosty, or after midday because it warmed up. So that will give a false reading. Mid-morning is the best time, they seem to say, about putting a thermometer into the ground to find out how much the soil is. And to be, as a general rule, it needs to be between 65 and 75 degrees. So other than that, and that is for most plants, obviously seeds. Now, there are going to be exceptions. You put certain ones in that will be more resistant to cold than others. But as a general rule, you will put seeds as opposed to like shallots or bulbs or anything like that. You put them in when the temperature is right. Should plants that are in the greenhouse be covered if a frost is forecasted? I always maintain that if a frost is forecasted and it's going to be minus one or two, then outside, then definitely I will put a covering in my greenhouse, because the forecast is never going to be as accurate, and it's best to be safer than sorry. So, and all it is for me is horticultural fleece. Try to ensure that the horticultural fleece is not touching the plants you're wanting to protect, because you're really trying to form a cocoon. So it has less cold air in it. You start having horticultural fleece touching, then if the frost does come in, then it can nip between the plant and the fleece. And that is even more relevant when you have to cover things outside. And the best example of that is potatoes, because early potatoes are going to be subjected to a frost. So fortunately, I've got all the stuff stored in the shed, ready to come out, and it's on hoops. So you've got metal hoops, so you roll that out and roll the horticulture fleece over it. What does become a bit of a pain is when the potatoes grow and there's late frosts, because obviously they get higher, so you've got to put the fleece higher. But be prepared. Otherwise, with potatoes, you'll find that they can get nipped. And again, that is why you try to ensure that it's not touching. Is it okay to leave bags of compost outside? Well, for storage purposes, yeah, of course. You're not going to have room to put compost inside all the time. I always bring one in. I normally get it as I want it, to be fair. But I seem to always have one outside and one inside. And the reason for being inside is that you need to make sure that it is warmed up before you use it for sowing, repotting. Make sure it's warmed up. It's like anything. You don't want to be planted in a cold environment. And the other thing about storing outside is try to cover it with a little bit of tarpaulin, because it needs to breathe, the compost, so it's got holes in it. But if it's not protected with something and it rains, the rain will find those holes and it will, believe me, it will soak some of that compost. And it will take it makes it a lot heavier, and B, it takes a long time to dry out. That's it, Sue.
Excellent, Trevor, as informative as ever. So we'll see you in April. So good gardening.
Well, hopefully, yes, hopefully we can get what I've just said, certainly what to do in March, I actually get done in March.
Thank you, Trevor, and do keep well. Bye for now. Bye.
Bye. Bye.